this passage here, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. It is a passage with powerful promises. Would you give me a moment this week to prayerfully give this to God? God, we come to your word and ask you to speak with power, with majesty, and with comfort and hope. Speak through me, speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I would look at the happy trails. I'm not going to remember our address with the Sons of the Pioneers or anything. But in these happy trails, in the garden, walk with God, in this presence with God, it says, blessed are the peacemakers. And most of I sincerely doubt that anyone in this room hasn't heard a sermon on peacemakers. The plus side of that is I can leave a lot out of what I would have said. But a couple of things are really important, two things that we need to know. What says peacemakers, it is, again, not the absence of war. It is the sense of peace, the shalom, the irene in the Greek. It is the sense of God making us whole, of coming together in a relationship with God and the home of God. In Psalm 122 that was read forth to you, if you read it sometime, it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And what it's calling about is it's calling for the peace of the community of God. Because as a community of God, as a people in relationship with God, there is required and also given to us as a gift that we can receive or reject the opportunity to be in relationship with God as we're in relationship with each other. To be one. The sense of community, the sense of oneness. So we come together, we become a place and a people to come home to the love of God. That's what this peace means. God says, blessed are the peace makers. And if you look at the Greek, it's as clear as the English. Peace makers. They just throw the two words together to make the word. And for makers, it is the sense of people who make it happen. Now, some years ago, I was in the Holy Land. And I always wanted to be in a DMZ. Do you all know what a DMZ is? Someone who does just say what a DMZ is. Okay, so you do know. And if you didn't, you just heard it. So I saw this DMZ on the map by the Golden Heights. Syria, Lebanon, and Israel to come together. And it was these big peacekeepers from the UN. I think they were from Holland. And I thought, I'm going to go into the DMZ. And here's a guy with a big rifle. And he says, you're not allowed here. And I thought, I really might go into the DMZ. So, as he was doing that, I came alongside him, and I said, would you smile when I take your picture? And he said, you can't do it, but he smiled. And I got my picture taken at the DMZ. And hopefully a sergeant or a watch officer was around because he got something else. There was not peace in the DMZ. Was the absence of war. It was like a ceasefire. MacArthur once said that a ceasefire isn't peace. It just means you're not going to fight for now. And by the way, did you realize that most of you have been in the DMZ? You know, the first time I was in the DMZ, when I hit my older brother, and ran to my mom. that she was a peacemaker. And I may have taken slight advantages of that over the years. In James, it says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving. It goes on a bunch of things. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. That actually uses the word in that verse like three times for peace. Peace, people who live in peace, bring peace. That's the harvest of righteousness. And it is a chance to be part of the purpose of God when we bring peace, because our Lord Jesus has brought peace to our lives. And as we've been looking at the Beatitudes, I've told you how a lot of them are a little bit like the 12 steps of AA. Now, blessed are the peacemakers isn't exactly in the 12 steps. But those of you that have ever been to one of those meetings or whatever, the sponsor is the peacemaker. And part of the genius of AA is that they get someone who is in recovery after a bit of time to be a sponsor. As they help people struggling to find their peace and to resist the addiction that's upon them, they become peacemakers. In the process of becoming peacemakers, they become, they find more peace. And so it's blessed are the peacemakers. And Jesus speaks of this in John when he says, if we love him, we just become a part of this. He says, I've told you this, and he even said they sent the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the Comforter, the Counselor. And it's a super opportunity. Would you ever hear anyone say, prepare to meet your Maker? It's most of the time it's the tears, it's not terribly positive. Prepare to meet your Maker. Now, if you looked at that just purely theologically, you would say that is a good thing. Because the one that created you has the most love for you. By and large, and for a few people, if any, that love us more than our moms and dads. And probably especially our moms, because it was such a pain to create you. So it's prepared to meet your Maker. And we draw near to God. Jesus was the peacemaker. He was the peacemaker even among the disciples. But it was a motley crew. There was Simon the Zealot and probably James the Lesser, which I think were probably somewhat revolutionary, perhaps one even at the time was perhaps an assassin. Judas, Scary, kind of related in the same way. There was Matthew, the tax collector, who just followed the system and played it. And they fought each other. And they were continually jockeying for position. I'm certainly going to return to our parents and say, do you love me more? And we as brothers and sisters have never argued that mom loves the best or vice versa. And as we come to the table, it is a remembrance of the one who brings peace to our life. It's a chance to meet our Maker. Throughout scripture and theologically and the like, always has two realities, more than two, but let's focus just to two.
the reality of our trying to live up to the peacemaker of our Lord Jesus Christ, trying to live up to the peacemakers in our lives, the moms, the dads, the loving uncles or aunts, the grandparents, the teacher. That was part of creating who we are. Sometimes I talk with parents and I say, you think I don't know you? But I've had the privilege of knowing your children. So I think I have an idea of who you are. And in many cases, that's a very good thing. Blessed are the peacemakers, because we're invited to come and behold. Our Lord Jesus explained it this way. After he had given thanks, he took the bread and he broke it. I went off and he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. As we come to the meal, to the Holy Communion, our brokenness, even as a body, it's a chance to be made whole again. That's pretty wonderful. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. As he was serving communion during the Last Supper, after he had taken bread, eventually he took the wine. He said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. He restores us to the family of God. He awakens us to the second reality of the table. We celebrate this table not only in the now, but we have a sense of all the peacemakers that are with us, the cloud of witnesses. And they're not only with us, they await us. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Can you remember when you were a kid and mom or dad called you home? Do you remember that? If I was good, mom would say, Daisy. Just remember, she's the only one. And say, Davy, come home, it's summertime. Or if I was in trouble, she'd say, David Lee, come home. Actually, that sounded more like my father than my mother. And I would come home. This is the coming home meal. The coming home where we call our name in this life. And the coming home meal where we will be called home to heaven, to be with all those who loved you. And so, I just want to